This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Rise.
Wake up. It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up. It's morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
It really is. Shout out Film on Mike. Shout out Sam Lubman filling in for Joe Shasky. Doing a hell of a job this week, all week. Shasky back next week. It's Joe Spadoni alongside him. Yeah, Carter.
Hey, I'm Lubman. I'm going to be at Freedman's Appliances this Saturday with Mark Grant.
Is that coming up, the red tag sale? Freedman's Appliance? It's coming up, Sammy.
Possibly.
Me and you did that last year.
End of September, right?
There's something like that coming up. Here we go. Shout out our friends at Freedman's. Shout out Coz.
Heck,
getting cozy more.
Mm-hmm. Love getting Coz on.
I loved having Jennifer Lee Chan on last segment.
She was great.
49ers Insider, NBC Sports Bay Area. And she had a lot of interesting nuggets in regards to Jake Moody, Ricky Pearsall, expectations for Brock Purdy. And remember, people, the Super Bowl's at Levi's Stadium this year. It is at Levi's Stadium. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, the Tampa Bay Bucks, they won it in their backyard. The Los Angeles Rams, they won it at SoFi Stadium. Why can't the Niners win it at Levi's Stadium this year? 888-957-9570. I teased the question, Sammy, and it was scoffed at by our makeshift producer in the back, technical producer, Carter Chickering, comes in here. He's just like, I just find that question laughable. I was like, well, excuse me, Sir Carter. He's like, we shouldn't even be talking Super Bowl with this Niners squad. I was like, huh, elaborate. He just thinks there's so many more question marks about this team this time compared to last year when they were coming off a Super Bowl loss. I contend this team is better than last year's team. I feel better about this team. I do. I did not feel good about last year's Niners team. We all wanted to sugarcoat it. We all want to say, oh, well, why can't they get back there? They just lost the Super Bowl. Yeah, you lost the Super Bowl. You don't get back. Unless you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you lose the Super Bowl. You don't get back to the Super Bowl. It is very difficult. You got to take your licks the season after more often than not. Just ask the Philadelphia Eagles, who lost 2 years ago to the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. They made the playoffs the next year, but they were not the same team.
No.
They were a shell of themselves. Then they lost Fletcher Cox, right? They lost Jason Kelsey. They lost a lot of big names on that team. And you know what they did? They attacked the draft. They hit in the draft. Cooper DeJean, Kenyon Mitchell. They got these guys. They made some shrewd picks. Who's it? My guy Bond, linebacker. They got some key acquisitions. Howie Roseman did his thing, wheeling and dealing. And what do you know? They got back to the promised land. They won the Super Bowl. If the 49ers, if Mykal Williams can be that dude alongside Nick Bosa, you're feeling a hell of a lot better about the season, aren't you, Niner fans? Nick Bosa, Mykal Williams, he's got a running mate now. that takes a lot of the pressure off the linebacking core, the secondary with a lot of question marks. I feel good about the offense. I feel good, Sam. I do. Christian McCaffrey and Brian Robinson Jr., it's a hell of a 1-2 punch. Brock Purdy, feel great about, actually. Ricky Pearsall, feeling a lot better after that connection I saw in the preseason. We'll see with Juwan Jennings. You got George Kittle. He's the best tight end in football. I feel great about that. Move over Travis Kelce. You have Taylor Swift now. You're fine. You guys are engaged. That's great.
He's set.
That's your story.
He's set for life.
Maybe George is going to get invited to the wedding. Who knows? But again, like, I'm feeling so much better about this team than I feel like Niner fans are. And that's why I asked the question on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked would you be that's the 49ers winning the Lombardi at Levi Stadium? Give it like a 5. I wouldn't be that shocked. They were in 2 Super Bowls, guys, in the last 6 years. Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing, okay? He knows what he's doing, people. Sam, do I sound insane?
A little bit, but why? You have to sound insane.
Why?
Because you wake up, yeah, but you have to be a little insane in order to do what we do, first off. So you just have that base layer there. But listen, is it completely impossible? No, very few things are truly impossible. You know, the Niners, again, coming in at plus 2,000 odds to win the Super Bowl this year. Only 6 teams in our lifetime. I am getting some goofiness going on in my head now. Only 6 teams in our lifetime, Spadoni, have won the Super Bowl with odds of plus 1,000 or higher. So it is certainly possible for the Niners to get there. How shocked I would be. You know, I'd probably be in the 7-8 range a little bit, maybe a little bit higher, only because it's just...
Wait, 7-8 wins?
7-8, like, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No.
Shock meter, 7-8, you'd be that surprised. Okay.
Yeah, just because, again, it's kind of, as I mentioned, there's a depth of talent issue, there's a development of these young guys issue that's going to cause some bumps in the road this year. I do think playoffs, I would be more shocked if they missed the playoffs than I would be if they made the playoffs. So, like, I expect this team to be a playoff contender. I expect them to be in the playoffs. And, you know, what happens in the playoffs once they get there? Yeah, I think that's where it gets a little bit murky there, only because you're going to be going against teams that are just deeper and stronger than you. And that's going to be, I think, too much of a hurdle for this 49ers team to overcome. That doesn't mean it's, you know, a failure of a season or everyone needs to get fired or anything like that. The Niners, I believe, and you said that you feel better about this team than last year's team. Yeah, I don't think that's hard to do just when you look at this team.
This time last year, though, people expected like this team to be back in the playoffs, well, yeah, and they should be a contender.
It's called we were lying to ourselves, and that's okay. We do it all the time. This is sports. That's how it works. But no, it's very much easier to feel better about this team than the team we had last year.
888-957-9570, and shout out to those watching on YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. And as always, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. And again, we're talking about this 49ers squad and the expectations of them and the pressure mounting. And if there is any pressure, legitimately, and if there is pressure, like if you're trying to rank that, like, is it Kyle Shanahan? Is it Brock Purdy? Because it always goes back to the head coach and the quarterback. Those are always the two with the most pressure every single year. The defending champs go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Who's under the most pressure? It's Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. It's Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. It's not Saquon Barkley, who was all world last year. It's not A.J. Brown. It's not Devontae Smith. It's not, you know, Jalen Carter. No, it's the coach and the quarterback. They're always going to be under the most scrutiny, under the most, you know, pressure, whatever the word you want to use. Yes, quarterback and head coach. A sneaky one, though, too. I would put before McCaffrey, I would put it before Bosa, Warner, Kittle. It's Robert Saleh, who we haven't talked a lot about.
We really have not, no.
They got their old band back together. Defensive coordinator, who is very familiar with this scheme, who is very familiar with going to a Super Bowl with this squad, the first iteration of the Kyle Shanahan era with this 49ers team. Robert Saleh was the DC, guys. Like, do we forget about that? And what that means in the trust with some of those young players, and now having been a head coach with New York, Sam, I feel a lot better about this defense as opposed to last year when, who were we kidding? Were we all just saying, oh yeah, Nick Sorensen, he's really? Like, in hindsight,
no
laughable.
One had faith in
Nick hindsight,
Sorensen.
It was laughable they went to Sorensen, right? Like,
yes.
Come on. It's insane. So the jump from a Sorensen to a Saleh is easily the most significant when it comes to this roster, players aside, coaches aside, You got the biggest leap right there alone from your defensive coordinator position.
And I think we've said, I think, a lot on this station, at least on this show, he might go down as the biggest acquisition of the offseason for this team because, you know, when you talk about, again, the youth on this team, and Jennifer talked about a little bit, you know, they need a lot of these young guys to step up and be those guys this year. Nick Martin, he's kind of showing he can be that guy, but C.J. West, Alfred Collins, they're going to be works in progress. Mykel Williams, we're not really sure what he's going to look at there. I feel like just the great, I guess, equalizer, so to speak, will be Robert Saleh, the fact that he is running this defense, the fact that you're actually going to see blitzing from the defense this year. I mean, we saw it in the first preseason game against the Broncos. I think it was the Chase Lucas blitz to set up that safety there. It was just like, oh, wow, pressure on the quarterback? What a novel concept. We should try this more often. So that there is why, if you want to feel optimistic about the Niners' chances this year and why I still think that even if they aren't a Super Bowl winner this year, I absolutely think that they could be a playoff team this year because Robert Saleh has shown that he can develop this defense over the course of a season. And, you know, Spinelli, you remember his first year with this team, 2017, he inherited a team that had nothing on that defense whatsoever. And when you look at the progression of how the defense changed that year, the first couple weeks, you know, in 2017, they averaged about 22 a game that they allowed. Then in October, it got pretty ugly. They allowed points per game and forcing turnovers. They were winless that month in October. November 2017, they had 20 points per game. So what you see there, Spadoni, is what I think you're going to see with this defense. It'll look good in September. It's going to be bumpy in October. It's going to look better in November. And it's going to look, you know, ready for the postseason, hopefully, come December. That's the kind of progression plan I'm expecting to see with Robert Saleh in this defense. And it's why we're going to, again, say at the end of the year, yeah, Robert Saleh was indeed the biggest acquisition for the 49ers this season.
888-957-9570 is the number to get involved. Call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Biggest reason for optimism about this team, because I'm tired of the pessimism, Sammy. Tired of the pessimism. I'm a cautiously optimistic person by nature. I know it doesn't sound like that all the time.
We actually live in a post-optimism society, Spadoni.
Thank you. That was very Bay Area of you. And I am a cynic when it comes to certain things, and I'm a realist too. But I just look at the landscape of the NFC in general, and I don't fear anyone. There is not a fear factor still. The Eagles, sure, like, they're the defending champs. You give them their respect. I don't fear anyone, though, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, and I've been to two different Super Bowls, and I've been just a quarter away from winning two Super Bowls. I don't fear anyone if I'm Brock Purdy, and I've gone up against Patrick Mahomes. I've gone up against the best in football and have equaled them at times. And you referenced the run defense, Sam. That's what the biggest need of improvement is for this team. That needs to jump right there, because last year, they ranked 18th in all football. They gave up 124 rushing yards per game. That's not good.
No.
You need to stop that. Juxtapose that. The best in football, it was the Baltimore Ravens giving up 80. If you could be around the 100 or below that, that is going to be the sweet spot for this team. And it starts with stopping that and forcing the opposition to get into passing downs and unleashing your hound. That is who? Nick Bosa. Give him more opportunities to have an impact on the game, because when you're rushing and they're just dominating the rush, they're not going to respect you. And then you have to bite because you have to respect the run, and then they'll just gas your secondary, which, again, unproven right now.
Yep, one thing just keeps leading to another in that situation. But, yeah, again, you talk about the run defense. That's going to be the first thing to kind of keep an eye on there, because the interior of the defensive line, there's still a lot of question marks there. I mean, there's question marks out everywhere outside of Nick Bosa, who, again, I still think is he's one of the elites, but he's going to just get double-teamed if there's no other guys you need to worry about there, and that kind of neutralizes Nick Bosa in that situation. So you seem to be very confident that the run defense will be good. Do you feel like the run defense will be good right away, or do you think it's going to be a work in progress there? Because I kind of wonder, with the D-tackle situation being as murky as it is right now, I feel like that's going to be a work in progress a lot to start the season.
We'll see. Well, they got a good test. Kenneth Walker III, week one against the Seahawks. He is a very good running back when he is healthy. And we'll see, right? Again, we can only go off what we saw last year, but what we saw last year was so laughable, and there's such a changeover now with the coordinator, a legit coordinator, a legit defensive coordinator that has been to a Super Bowl, Robert Saleh, taking over. Let's listen to Charles Davis and what he had to say about the acquisition of Robert Saleh coming back now as defensive coordinator after flaming out in New York as head coach of the Jets. Charles Davis, CBS Sports broadcaster. You're going to be hearing him along with Ian Eagle all season long on the broadcast. And again, shout out Paramount Plus. See him there too. Charles Davis on Willard and Dibbs yesterday, courtesy of River Islands, on the impact Saleh's going to have on this defense.
I think he can make a huge difference because that's how he worked his way up through the system and became a head coach. Developing guys, seeing something in them that other people didn't see, maybe putting them in spots that people didn't anticipate. Fred Warner would be Exhibit A, right? You know, the guy was a nickel safety in college. They turned him into a middle linebacker. He's going to waltz in and wear a gold jacket one day. In New York, he did that. Remember his first, I think one of their early drafts, they drafted like two or three safeties with the idea that two of them at least were going to be moved to linebacker. And it worked out pretty well last year, Jamie Sherwood, or David, you know, and he ended up playing awfully well for them. I just use that as examples of seeing something that maybe other people didn't see and developing and honing honing that skill. I just think there's going to be a bunch of guys chomping at the bit to play for him and to play well. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see the 49ers defense play maybe better than what projections are in terms of, you know, who's back, big time names, things of that nature.
And that gives me reason for optimism about this team. Charles Davis right there knows his stuff. He's saying this acquisition of Saleh is being slept on here. What say you, Niner fans? 888-957-9570 is the number. And you know, what coach needs to have a better year for this team to succeed going forward? Is it Kyle Shanahan or is it Robert Saleh? I wonder what Jana Mountain View thinks about that.
I definitely need to know what Jana Mountain View has.
Jan, good morning. You're on the morning roast. Long time no talk, Jan.
Yes, good morning, the two of you. I just want to make a point. Well, I'm glad that Saleh is back. However, Shanahan needs to, get more involved in, I know he likes the running game, but he needs to get pretty or maybe have McCaffrey throw a touchdown pass every now and then. I mean, this offense, gets too predictable. And the other defenses are, coming to fruition and, making our team not look that great. And I'm glad for Saleh because I think he will bring the enforcement that we need to tackle those, other offenses. But, we need to spread this around and, not be running, all the time and prevent injuries too, please. I'm sick of having them to, find another one that's going to miss a week or two. And we need to, get the wide receivers more and hopefully they can get two or three more wide receivers to help that, the offense. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. That's Jana Mountain View right there. And yeah, ask the question, Robert Saleh or Kyle Shanahan, who needs to have a better year out of the two? Of course, the answer is they better both have good years. But I'll say this, if Robert Saleh ends up having a better year than Kyle Shanahan, like, how does that look? Is this team going to the playoffs based on their defense alone? Are they good enough to do that? I'm feeling great about Robert Saleh, but then I have question marks about Kyle Shanahan saying, hey, you're letting a guy with maybe like he has three pieces there that he could count on, that being Bosa, Warner, and it's still young Diamondor Lenore. Like, those are the three pieces, and he was able to, the Upton Stouts of the world. Yes, you invested in Michael Williams. Maybe he emerges. C.J. West, we'll see. Maybe he unlocks Yetur Gross-Matos, who hasn't done a whole hell of a lot here in San Francisco. Maybe that's the case, but I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan. He better have the better year between the two, right? I mean, he's got his quarterback. He's got the tight end. He's got the running back. He's got his first-round pick, Ricky Pearsall, right? He's got left tackle Trent Williams. He should be having the better year of the two.
Well, let's just take a step back here and define what a better year looks like. I don't actually want to have that conversation just yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm going to go with Robert Saleh here because when I look at the talent he has on this team, I feel like Saleh kind of has his pieces that he's going to be working with for the next few years here because of how heavy defensive this draft was, how the defensive playmakers that you drafted last year, Malik Mustafa, when they added D. Winters the other year, and Tatum Bethune. You have been doing, I think, a Granado Green, another one. You have been doing a pretty good job the last couple years of adding young defensive talent to this team. And when I look at this team, this year's team, again, I don't think a Super Bowl is really in the cards for this team, but they could still have a successful year. They could still make the playoffs, and they could still use this year as the stepping stone to the next great Super Bowl run that they go on. Why I want Robert Saleh, why I think he needs to have the better year this year is, from what I see on this defense, a lot of these names are going to be the names we see on the field when the Niners do take the field for the Super Bowl the next time that they get there. It's going to be a defensive line built around Bosa, Collins, West, and Williams. Your linebacking core will be hopefully Fred Warner, but Tana Bethune and D. Winters and Nick Martin, they are also going to be Fred's sidekicks there. And honestly, I love that quartet of linebackers you have. If Robert Saleh has the better year, then that means this 49ers defense is looking like a punishing force of destruction coming out of November, going into December, into the playoffs. As great of an offensive mind as Kyle Shanahan is, what made those Super Bowl teams so damn good was the fact that while Kyle Shanahan was dropping 30 points on you, that defense was suffocating you all game long. It's almost ironic that the offensive genius that is Kyle Shanahan has throughout his tenure here with the 49ers, I think routinely had some of the best defenses in the league. Some of his defenses have been better than his offenses, and his offenses have still been pretty dang good. So I'm putting it more on Robert Saleh this year, just because if he has the better year, then I think you're feeling super freaking good about what is possible for this team going into 26, 27, and forming the defensive backbone of Kyle Shanahan 3.0.
I mean, sometimes it's as simple as saying this is the goal of the game, right? Defense, don't allow the other team to score. Bend, don't break at times. That's fine. Just don't let them score touchdowns. Juxtapose that with the offense. What is the goal? Get touchdowns. It's a simple game when you just get down to it. And last year, the 49ers defense was bottom five when it came to points per game allowed, Sammy. They allowed 25.6 points per game. That is tied with the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Cleveland Browns, and then just below them is the Tennessee Titans, Dallas Cowboys, Carolina Panthers. You get what I'm saying here.
You know what those teams have in common, Spadoni?
They stink.
They're all teams I don't want my team to be in the same company.
Correct.
You're going to have to, and that's why I put a big chunk of expectations on Robert Saleh. He's got a lot of work ahead of him, and I have a lot of faith, actually, that he will get it done, because he has done it already with this team with far less talent when I talk about that 2017 defense. And he had a great year that year in 2017. In that 2017 team laid the foundation of what ended up being a really great Super Bowl caliber defense 2 years later in 2019.
And last year, if we just juxtapose that, we're talking about Shanahan and Saleh right now when it comes to what they are heading into the season, what they need to improve upon. It's the points per game for the 49ers. As we're talking about the points allowed per game for the Niners last year, and they were bottom five. Well, the offense was very mid. It was very meh. 14th they ranked in points per game last year amongst all NFL offenses. 22.9.
That's below average for a Shanahan offense.
It's not good. Some of the teams in front of them, the Falcons.
Oh.
The Cardinals.
Well, that's not a team you want to be on the same level as.
The Chargers?
Ugh.
This is what I'm saying.
Did they even throw the ball last year?
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, that is not in a Shanahan offense. Like, that can't happen. The Lions, the Bills, the Ravens, you know, I could understand that. Like, those, like, legit high-powered offenses. They had the health. They had it going. They were good last year. Okay, and the Cincinnati Bengals, yeah, Joe Burrow was incredible. But a Kyle Shanahan-led offense could not be middle of the pack when it comes to points per game. 22.9? It's unacceptable. So which one of those needs to get jumped higher? Obviously, you can't be a bottom five scoring defense. That can't happen. So the jump there from Saleh, I think he could jump easier. He has an easier time jumping from bottom five to middle of the pack. Will Shanahan have an easier time jumping from middle of the pack to top five, though?
Yeah.
When it comes to scoring offense. I don't know.
Let me throw a question at you. Maybe we can get into this on the other side. But do you think it's going to be more likely this year that this team is, like, scoring points is going to be, like, pulling teeth in terms of how difficult it will be? Mm. Or will it be more likely that keeping points off the board is going to be more frustrating? What do you think is going to be more likely this year? I'll throw this out to the listeners too, 888-957-9570. What do you think feels more likely with this 49ers team? Struggling to punch it into the end zone or struggling to keep the other team out of the end zone?
888-957-9570. I love that. We'll get into that on the other side. And it's going to be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. This Labor Day weekend, be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids. Before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate, visit BayAreaOilChange.com.
Yeah, I'm such a loser. I got to listen to you guys.
Oh, yeah! Roasters, what's happening? It's Chewy Gomez from 102 Jams. I got you covered every afternoon from 3 to 7. And you know my boys Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky? Well, they got you all morning long right here on the Morning Roast. Take it away, Spadoni!
What's up, Chewy? Sam Lovin' in for Joe Shasky. And that was Bobby, formerly of Los Altos, currently in the DMV right now. You know what I love about Bobby? He never sugarcoats it as a caller. Even when I was screening his calls when I was a producer back there. You know, he would call and he's like, yeah, you know, Spadoni, I gotta be honest. Whenever you're talking about the Niners, I can't call in.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I can sit here and do a sugarcoat
like,
job.
You pissed me off. I hate your Niner takes. I was like, you know what? Thank you for telling me. I appreciate it.
Now I was going to like everyone's takes.
That's okay. All right. But you know what? At least you had a visceral reaction to it. That matters to me. That matters. Dude, whether you love me or you hate me, it's gotta be something. I don't want to, that's Joe Spadoni. That's what you don't want.
He's a guy.
He's a guy, right? No, that's what you don't want. By the way, not Guy Haberman. Did you hear what Isaiah Thomas had to say? On the Draymond Green show? Did you guys hear that? Dave Fleming.
The Draymond Green show still going?
Oh, dude, it's popping. Hashtag new media. You guys remember that? When him and JJ Redick were changing the media? It turns out new media is the same old media, but, you know.
Well, with better timed out naps.
Well, they package it differently. Yeah, better timed out. Thank you. But Isaiah Thomas, not, you know, the most recent Isaiah Thomas, not the Kings legend Isaiah Thomas, Washington legend, Zeke,
Celtics.
Detroit, bad boy Piston, Isaiah Thomas was sitting down.
The one that met the criteria?
Yes.
But was still left off the roster?
Of the Dream Team, yes. He's still hurt by that. And apparently he's still hurt by, Kevin Durant and his time in Golden State. We'll explain in the next hour. I promise.
Wait, people are upset about Kevin Durant in Golden State? That's so weird. No one's
ever. I love Draymond. I hate Draymond. He is a heart attack.
You know who people really hate right now? It's Jake Moody. They can't get.
Of course.
He is enemy. No, seriously. Enemy number one in the Bay Area
Bust.
Is not Jonathan Kuminga, is not Steve Kerr, is not Bob Melvin, is not Rafael Devers, it's not Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry. No. It's Jake Moody.
Do we have a kicker watch?
Hit it.
This sucker.
Jennifer Lee Chan, 49ers insider, NBC Sports Bay Area, joined us in the 7 o'clock hour. If you missed any of it, find it in its entirety, Odyssey app or YouTube. This is what she had to say about how the 49ers feel right now about one Jake Moody. And boy, the leash is short. Let's just say that.
I think the leash is kind of short on him. I think they'll keep him around. I mean, Kyle Shanahan said, you know, we'll see how the year goes. So that's a lot of pressure on him. And man, listening to the fans at that preseason game after he missed the point after, wow. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen 49ers fans be like that before since they've been at Levi's Stadium. Maybe a little bit of Candlestick here and there. But at Levi's, I don't think I've ever heard that. I mean, it's never been that loud when a kicker goes out there for a PAT or a field goal. I mean, there were a lot of boos. It was loud. That's a lot of pressure on a guy. He just doesn't strike me as a guy who has that overwhelming confidence.
Well, spoiler alert, he doesn't have any confidence right now when he's getting booed during a preseason game.
No, she was being very generous on that one.
I don't think he could ever gain the faith or the trust back within this fan base. It's never happening. He can be perfect halfway through the season. I keep saying this. He can be perfect halfway through the season, misses one extra point or one kick, it's done. It's over. It's kaput. Night-night. See you later. It's anyone but Jake Moody at this point if you're a 49er fan. And that wasn't it. Jennifer Lee Chan expanded and expounded, if that's a word. It's right, expounded, that's a word, on one Jake Moody.
I don't know if he can rebuild his confidence. I mean, they've done everything possible to give him a fresh slate. New special teams coordinator, new long snapper, new holder. So, I mean, it's a completely new slate outside of being in a new location. So we'll see if he can build his confidence back up. But, I mean, missing 2 of 4 in practice and then missing a point after, kind of shaky game during the preseason. I understand the fans being a little stressed about him being the kicker, but I don't think Kyle Shanahan really likes it either. So I would think that, you know, there's a short window of if he blows a 36-yarder makeable field goal to win a game, I think, you know, maybe that's the tipping point.
I can't stand to see greatness rot before my eyes.
I feel you, Priest in Palo Alto. I feel you. It's honestly, it's hard to watch. It's almost like when you see, and you don't watch golf, Sam, so maybe this is not the greatest analogy.
I dabble.
But when you're watching a guy who clearly has the yips and he loses, like Tommy Fleetwood, who just won the Tour Championship. I'm so happy for him. His first PGA Championship, well, not PGA Championship, but you know what I mean. PGA Tour win, thank you. And he gets $10 million. He's the FedEx. It's awesome. Good for him. He was notorious, though, for pressure mounting, and you could see it unravel in the final round. If Tommy Fleetwood had the lead ending into Sunday, you knew he wasn't going to win it. You would go on FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever you're doing,
just
and say,
hammer that he's going to do
it. I'm going to hammer whoever's behind him. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, everyone else, not Tommy Fleetwood, because you knew he would unravel. Jake Moody has entered that zone where you just have zero faith that he's going to get it done. Zero. Mm-hmm. None. Short leash.
Mm-hmm.
That's what JLC said about Jake Moody.
And I feel like he's in a situation, he's in a no-win situation almost, in that he has to be perfect all year long. And the odds are he will not be perfect all year long. When I look at his career, Spadoni, a career 76% field goal percentage of percentage made in his 2 years. That is on a grading scale a C. That is just purely average. And I think you need to shoot for a little bit better than average. By my count, there's 9 games where he has attempted at least one field goal and missed at least one field goal in those games. He had, I'm seeing 6 such games last year. They really started to pile up towards the end of the year. It spiraled quickly for him. And my guess is the first one he misses, that's when the spiral will begin again this year. If it happens week 1 against the 12s in Seattle, that's going to really suck week 3 when he comes onto the field for the first time against the Arizona Cardinals, because he's going to hear it. Niner fans are not going to be kind to him. He's in a deep hole. I don't know if he digs himself out of it, to be honest, because first off, I don't think Kyle really cares about kickers all that much. Clearly, we asked Jennifer about this. The third round pick might be a big reason why they're being so stubborn and trying to hold on to this. It's the sunk cause fallacy or whatever. You've held on to it for too long. You don't want to let go and admit that you whiffed on that pick. Eventually, you're just going to have to face reality, let the cows come home, and make the move that we all know is coming, where you move off of Jake Moody. I'm curious, as we talk about this, is there a week we think this is going to happen? A week that we, like, that this week, no, Jake Moody's gone? I mean, do you have faith that he'll make it through the entire season as a kicker?
I want to believe in him. Oh, like, I'm rooting for Jake Moody.
I want to separate what we want to have happen for what we think will happen. Like, I think we'd all say we are all rooting for Jake Moody. Like, I would love it for Jake Moody to prove me and all the other people who were booing him and all those 49er fans moving around behind the goalposts that caused him to miss. I want all those guys to be proven wrong. Again, I'm lumping myself in there as well. I just don't think that's going to happen. That's just kind of where I'm at there. So if he's still on this team like halfway through the year, I would actually be kind of surprised by that.
If he lasts through week 3, I think he's got a chance. If he can last through week 3 at home against Arizona, he will have a chance to remain the kicker the rest of the season. I believe that, because you have 2 road opponents, 2 different scenarios. 1 outside, potentially rainy, we'll see, in Seattle. I don't know what the weather forecast is. 14 days ahead, less than 14. I don't know how accurate it is. But we shall see. And then you're in New Orleans at the Superdome. So there's no elements at all. And if he can't kick there and he struggles in the Superdome, then it's night, night, see you later. It's off. It's out. I'm done.
I think in that situation, if he struggles in either Seattle or worse in the Superdome, where it does get pretty loud in the Superdome, you got to factor that in as well.
The Superdome gets in your dome. How about
that? It does. That very much so. It super does get in your Superdome. then you're going to be on thin ice coming back into that Cardinals game. And again, you talk about the complete lack of confidence that Jake Moody has. If he's on shaky ground in that first home game, then yeah, I do think that that's all she wrote. He will face plant in that game. He will whiff a kick. It might cost him the game, and that might be ball game for Jake Moody. He might be kicked out of the Niners at that point.
Who has a better chance of lasting through their seasons? Is it Jake Moody this year or Bob Melvin the rest of this Giants season?
I mean, Bob Melvin is not going to get
locked
moved.
In. He's finishing out.
They're on a 3-game winning streak right now, so I think the Giants might have just extended him another 4 years. That news should be breaking any moment.
For Bob.
There we go. Fighting for Bob Melvin here. He's the Chauncey Billups of the Giants. No, Bob Melvin. That actually, you know what? That's an interesting question there, Spadoni, because I don't think the Giants will fire Bob Melvin before the end of the year. If that does happen, it will happen in that first week of October, which is the same week the Niners go to L.A. to play the Rams. That's an interesting one. Could Jake Moody get cut before the Giants make a decision publicly to move off of Bob Melvin?
We're going to call it the hunt for red and gold October here. Can Jake Moody make it to October, ladies and gentlemen? 888-957-9570. October 2nd, Thursday Night Football at Los Angeles. You will have played four different teams: Seahawks, Saints, Cardinals, Jacksonville. Only one of those is going to be in a dome. The rest are outside in the elements. Will Jake Moody last until the month of October? 888-957-9570. Let's ask our Jake Moody correspondent, Brian in Palo Alto. Brian, good morning.
Yeah, I think week one, that's my bet. that I don't think he will be the kicker in week two. And by the way, there's no getting around it. It's just a terrible, terrible look for Kyle Shanahan that he continues to employ a guy who is, you know, the entire fan base has lost. I mean, everybody can see that it's 100% the right decision to make to cut Moody now. Not say he's gone, right? Like, this is not going to work out. And if, you know, you're potentially costing the team's games, because Kyle manages to his field goal kicker, right? He's a very conservative play caller in the red zone. And so, you know, he consistently will, like, play for the field goal all the time. Like, the people think he doesn't care about his kicker, but he coaches to the kicker. I think week one, it's over. They'll cut him. Kyle will look terrible. It's just a terrible, terrible look for Kyle Shanahan. There's no way around it. And, you know, if it's a tough season, if they're 6-11 again, and this is the stuff that's happening, he's in danger. I'll put it that way. They can't go 6-11 again. And when you employ a kicker that you know is already mentally wasted, that shows me somebody that doesn't really care about wins and losses all that much. Anyways, that's my two cents.
Hey, thanks, Brian. That's Brian of Palo Alto. And I'm with him on that. You cannot go 6-11 this year. Like outside of a horrific injury to the quarterback position. But even then, like, there's going to be major question marks. Let's say the quarterback gets hurt. Again, I don't want to, you know, cast like this.
Knock on wood. Someone out there knock on wood for us.
This is made of wood.
This is not made of wood. We have no wood in the studio. So,
well, speak for yourself.
We just jinxed the season.
888-957-9570. Steve in San Francisco wants to join the conversation shortly. But I'll say this. Is there any way that Kyle Shanahan can, you know, get on the quote unquote hot seat this season? I think the only way that happens is if, like, there's like a fight between players or something in coaching staffs. Like, I think that, like, him and...
I mean, what are the odds that two players go at it on the sideline for any reason this season, right?
Exactly. Well, like that...
see that happening.
He can't lose the locker room is what I'm saying. I don't think that's going to happen. There's too many leaders at key positions there, and he has the respect of said leaders for that to happen. But I'll say this, in regards to Jake Moody, because that was the question, right? Can Jake Moody make it to October? 888-957-9570. The third round picks that he has been so, like, willing to move off of very quickly in the past,
Wasn't Trey Sermon one of them?
Well, I'll just go through it right now.
He was a running back. Running backs actually do stuff.
Cameron Latu, gone. Tight end Alabama. He's no longer here. You hit on Dominic Pooney last year. Great. He's sticking around.
Hopefully he's ready for week one.
I think they're hopeful that he
is. You know
what?
That was we should have asked Jennifer about that one.
By all accounts, he's going to be there. Yeah. That's what they keep saying.
Let's hope so.
Nick Martin, promising this year. Upton Sapp, promising. Right? So those are two ones that so far, let's see. But, you know, 2 years ago, I mentioned Cameron Latu, same draft as Jake Moody and Jair Brown. All three of those guys in the third round. Jair Brown's taking a step back.
Maybe that just wasn't a good draft for them.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't. And then you go back to 2022. Ty Davis Price. Gone. Danny Gray. Gone. Drake Jackson, the second round. Gone. Right?
Now, remember that. We'll always have that Pittsburgh game.
There you go. 2021. Trey Sermon. Gone. Ambry Thomas.
Gone.
Like, need I say more? Jalen Hurd in 2019.
Gone.
He's fine moving off third round picks if they stink. But the kicker?
That's a lot of third round picks.
That's where we're planting the flag in? The kicker? And by the way, I'm rooting for Jake Moody. Mm. I'm rooting for you. I am not anti Jake Moody on this show. I think I'm working with everyone else that's anti Jake Moody. Jake, I'm in your corner. I'm Mickey. All right. I'm rubbing the shoulders. I'm putting the gauze on.
Same old Jake to me.
Cut me, Mick. Cut me, Jake. It's all right. I got your back, dude. I got your back.
Stop.
Does Steve in San Francisco have Jake Moody's back? I wonder. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Getting to your point, I don't think it's a matter of like pro or con Jake Moody. It's just what it is at this point. And forgive me if you guys already touched on this, but I think a lot of times people are like, well, it was just an extra point. It was just this. It was just that. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are, but how many times has this guy kicked it out of bounds on kickoff? That seems to be a larger part of the conversation even than the field goals. And when you factor all that in, what you had mentioned was the point I was going to make was that this team always seems willing to cut bait when expeditiously, like Trey Lance, like things just didn't work out. What I cannot fathom is why they are tied to a guy that they're waiting for the inevitable to happen. Like, I don't think anybody thinks that, like, well, if they wait this out, they're going to be rewarded. Like, you see a shattered guy every single time he steps up there. So what is the catalyst for why they're waiting for the inevitable to happen? And is it going to happen before October? I hope not. But, I mean, that's all to say, like, can they give him a couple of, like, 20-yarders, 30-yarders? Even then, I don't feel confident. So I don't think he's going to last that long. I guess the bigger question is, why are they so married to a kicker where you can sign guys off the street that seemingly can do just as good, if not a better job?
I think they are giving him – it's a great question, Steve in San Francisco. We appreciate it. I think he did get hurt last year. And they are, you know, allowing, you know, for him to earn that right to go out there. And, you know, in the regular season, when healthy, if he's missing kicks, then he can cut them. He got hurt last year. And I think that skewed a lot of some of those numbers. Now, prior to the injury, he was very shaky. Like, week one, it was awesome. 6 field goals. He was amazing. Great. But maybe that was a sign of things to come if you're relying on Jake Moody in week one to have 6 field goals the way he did. But listen, I think they're going to allow him to lose his own job, if that makes sense, this season when he's healthy. So, we're going to find out very early. Brian seems to think at Palo Alto, it's week one, Sam. That's the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Not sure if anyone heard Sam there. We're going through minor technical difficulties. We'll figure it out. You know what? That's what we do. We pivot. We don't panic. That is something I have adopted from one Joe Shasky. I haven't adopted a lot of his sayings, but that is one of them in life that I appreciate. Pivot, not panicking. And there's been a lot of panic around Jake Moody when it comes to the kicking position. And quite frankly, they don't even have a punter on the roster right now. I know Thomas Moore says he's going to come back. Jeffrey Chantola, it's all kind of clerical, procedural. They're going to bring him back. They're going to put Jacob Cowing on IR, which again, sucks, because that's a guy that could have been, as we go back to home run hitting on this offense, Jacob Cowing could potentially be that guy. Now it feels
could
like
he, well, he's got speed. I don't really know much about what Jacob Cowing's
he's
bringing.
Got speed is why yeah. I say that. But now he's dealing with hamstring injuries. How much is that speed now going to be diminished?
You need hamstrings
going
to run fast.
Well, that's a hot take, right? You can't do anything without hamstrings. We had Brian Baldinger on yesterday, and he actually touched on Jake Moody. You want to listen to what Baldy had to say about Jake Moody?
I love listening to what anything Baldy has to say about anything.
I agree. Look, I mean, he was 10 for 20 from 40 yards out last year. Like, that's just not acceptable. It's almost, you almost wonder why he's even still there. Unless they just see something in practice that we don't, that we aren't allowed to see or haven't seen, where he's just so good. Like, he should be better. But when you're 10 for 20 from 40 yards out, like, usually those guys are, you know, they're finding a second job in this business. Because we're seeing kickers kick, make field goals from 70 right now. We're seeing guys, you know, Aubrey and Dallas can make one from, you know, from 60 yards. He's almost automatic. I mean, you just have to be better. And so you miss an extra point. I don't blame the fans for getting on him at that point. And yes, the situation is toxic. He just better be really good game day. That's for sure.
And that was Baldy on with us yesterday. He joins us every Tuesday, 7:30. Baldy's breakdowns, best in the business. It's toxic. It's toxic. Stressful. It's not good. Short leash. You hear all these terms. I have a very hard time envisioning Jake Moody remaining a 49er at the end of the season.
It's gonna be a very slippery slope. It's like I said. It's he has to be perfect, and hopefully he does go perfect on all of his kicks, not just the field goals, but the extra points. And as our last caller, Steve, made a great point. Stop kicking it out of bounds. Like, you got to get the kickoffs right. He literally has a level of perfect he has to attain this year. And my goodness, I do not envy him for that.
888-957-9570 is the number. The latest, by the way, around the NFLs, we're just going to news and notes. I like to just say, I feel like we should have a segment, by the way, weekly called the Morning News Dump. There you go. Hence, you know, it's a little play on words there. But again, there's a lot of things
A lot of things I could do with that, but I'm not.
No, but it's just fun. It's a little play on words, a little alliteration, situation, sensation. Adam Thielen, this was speculated. Adam Thielen, he's returning to the Minnesota Vikings in a trade with the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, very cool.
Sources told ESPN. Also, the Jaguars.
It's like a solid number three for them.
The Jaguars have agreed with a trade with the Detroit Lions to receive Tim Patrick, the wide receiver, for a sixth round draft pick. So some news and notes around the league.
Things are percolating.
Things are percolating. We'll see if the Niners do anything around there. Is Juwan Jennings, is there a deal to be made there? Is there going to be a trade that happens? No one knows. We'll see. Also, safety Jordan Poyer reuniting with the Bills on a one-year deal, Sam. So just around the NFL.
Awesome. Moves are happening. You know, can I throw a hot take at you?
Give it to me.
Because, you know, I know I'm not in the hot take business here. But
Hot Ones. Brian and, you like that show? Hot Ones.
I have watched an episode of it.
It's okay.
Yeah. I didn't watch the Sydney Sweeney episode that everyone likes. But
I thought the Conan episode was the best one.
Oh, okay. Conan did it.
Fellow redhead. Shout out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a Conan guy.
What? He's like the patron saint of redheads.
I like to think we have someone better out there, but
top five redheads. Conan's on the top five. He's on the Rushmore for sure.
Ooh, let me come back with that list for you tomorrow. I'm not putting Mark up there.
Oh, okay.
Right on. No, I mean, Sean White's definitely up there. That's for sure. Ron Howard, like him in there as well. Where was he? I just had a hot take
hot
for
take
you.
Hot take for Shanahan. What is it? What do you got?
So Brian Palo Alto
over there. What is it?
Brian Palo Alto said that Kyle Shanahan basically 6-11 can't happen. He might be gone. TC and Sack yesterday said that Kyle Shanahan's coaching for his job this year. My hot take, I don't think Kyle Shanahan has any chance getting fired this season. I think he is
no chance
close to being as unfireable right now as he could be.
Let me give you a doomsday scenario then. By the way, you can catch all of the CBS and Paramount action on Paramount Plus when it comes to football, Sammy. Because 95.7 The Game and Football Talk is presented by Paramount Plus. And you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 3-14. That's what the Niners record is. And almost everyone stays healthy. Do you don't think he gets fired then? If they are 3-14, this is doomsday scenario, and the team is just not good, and they're stay healthy, and the team is 3-14. You don't think there's a chance Shanahan gets let go?
If the 49ers stay healthy all year long, let me give you the answer. If they are healthy all year long and still go 3-14, then yes, in that scenario, I do believe he would be fired. But.
Okay, yeah. You said there was no chance. You said this is the hot take.
I think this team is too good to go 3-14, and everyone stays healthy. If everyone stays healthy,
I'm not giving you that out. I'm saying
No, you said earlier we can't use injuries as a why they won't win the Super Bowl. No, I am saying that I think this team, if they stay healthy all year long, is too talented to go 3-14.
I'm telling you though, in this scenario, because you said this.
No,
is
I'm saying I don't think that's going to happen. So real quick, the fact that
allowing this scenario for me, if you're doing your hot take situation, you said there is no way in hell that Kyle Shanahan could be fired. That's your hot take. That's what you said.
No,
right?
Plausible scenario. I don't think they're going to go 3-14.
Now you're backtracking. Now you're saying plausible scenario. That's
well, okay.
Hot
if you want to be rational here, fine. Like, it's or you could be crazy
though,
and irrational about it. I, for what this season's probably going to be, I don't think Kyle Shanahan gets fired. 6-11 will not get him fired. Yes, if they go into these apocalypse now doomsday scenarios of 3-14 when everybody's healthy, which I just don't see that happening. This team is too good. You have too many Hall of Fame talents here. Do you really think a team with Fred Warner, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and all the other really good players on this team, do you really think they're just going to go 3-14 without any injuries?
Well, what if Christian McCaffrey's just not any good anymore? George Kittle lost a step. He's not as good anymore. What if Trent Williams lost a step, isn't good anymore? Things happen very quickly in the NFL. Like the Eagles at one point with the dream team and Andy Reid and everyone was saying they're great, they're awesome. This is going to be the next best thing since sliced bread. And they were bad and they stunk. Like these things happen in sports. And what do you know? Andy Reid was gone shortly after that. Things happen in sports.
All right,
man.
You want to know what happens if they go 3-14 and you see guys starting to lose a step? It's like, all right, Kyle, you got a top 5 draft pick. Don't screw it up.
Oh, interesting.
Go and make that draft pick and keep. I think Jed,
so he is staying then. Okay.
Yeah. Right. No, again, because I even in that situation, I think you could still create a scenario where he comes back. It is shy of just absolute anarchy happening on the sideline, shy of Brock Purdy coming out and being like, yeah, Kyle Shanahan is drinking and smoking on the job. I just don't think he's very locked in right now. Short of just complete like SNL level scenarios.
Bring back smoking on the sideline.
Coming out of this team. There is no plot. Let me. Fine, then. You want me to make it a politically correct hot take? There is no plausible scenario I see playing out this year that ends with Kyle Shanahan getting fired. Again, I'm going to reference Albert Breer's article again.
Plausible and hot take, by the way, they don't work. You can't do plausible and hot take. It's just not.
Well, I just did.
It's an oxymoron.
I just made it happen right here. I just did what Skip Bayless could never do. A rational, plausible hot take.
Skip Bayless, he had a lot of information on that Cowboys doc.
Which, by the way, yeah, I'm... Quick sidebar there. Yeah, I'm watching the third episode where they highlight that 92 NFC title game, and it's a very fun episode until about halfway through where it's just like, or Jerry Jones like, that game made me reflect on my life. And then they just go into the whole backstory of his life and just completely ruin the episode. Like, I don't care about you, Jerry, even though this doc is about you. That's enough on that. No, I think that a 3-14 season, unless there's just absolute anarchy taking place on the side, no, Kyle will be back next year because I cite the Albert Breer article. Shout out to Albert Breer, giving us a lot of content these last 2 days. John and Kyle talk like guys who know that they have whereas Jake Moody has no leash to work with, Kyle and John have all the leash to work with. They're operating like guys who know for a fact that they are more or less locked in to come back for the 2026 season. They know that they have a lot of room to work with here to rebuild this team and build it up into another Super Bowl contender. So I think Jed is well aware of the situation here, both with the talent on the roster and with the finances of this team, to know that he can stick with Kyle this year. He feels that is the safe choice right now. Kyle's also making $14 million a year in the next 3 years. I don't know if Jed really wants to pay two head coaches for a couple years either. It's just, I think Kyle is about as safe as he could possibly be right now. So this season, will it be bumpy? Sure. People are going to call for Kyle Shanahan to be fired at some point this year. Sure. I expect it to happen a lot. Realistically, though, I just don't see a plausible scenario where Kyle Shanahan gets fired this season. The earliest I think he can get fired is end of next season.
888-957-9570 is the number to weigh in. Call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. We got 3 hours down. One more to go, Sammy. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. All right. And I promised we'd get to this sound at one point, so bear with us. Isaiah Thomas, what he had to say on the Draymond Green show, it's making its rounds. You know, it is nice to talk some Warriors stuff. That's not Jonathan Kuminga related. As you put your finger up, what's going on? What's
no, up? I'm looking at our YouTube chat presented by First Norcom Credit Union for the first time, and I think forever, they're actually presenting something very entertaining to read. 3-14, we get Arch Manning. There you go. See, it could all work out. Anyway,
it's not happening, by the way. And Arch Manning, we don't know if it's good.
Yeah, he can't even be in the draft next year either.
Literally, this time last year, we were saying Shedeur Sanders was a first round pick, and what happened? He just slid all the way to the sixth. Now he's a third stringer for the Browns.
I just love to call it the YouTube chat when they, you know, throw a funny thing out there.
You think Arch Manning's going to be a thing real quick, though? You think like he's going to live up to the hype this year? Ohio State, Texas this week.
I mean, the hype is just have good years at Texas and then get drafted in the top five.
Do you think he's going to be good is what I'm saying?
Like, I think so.
Yeah.
I think he's got all the pedigree and the talent around him to be a very, very successful quarterback.
We'll see.
I think he will be the greatest college football quarterback ever. They might just stop having college football quarterbacks after Arch Manning, because like, why even bother? You will never amount to anything.
You're locked into college football. You're obviously a big Miami fan. Any other names like quarterback wise I should be paying attention to outside of Arch Manning this year?
Yeah, pay attention to Carson Beck and all the clutch interceptions he's going to throw this year for Miami.
Oh, Carson Beck, the guy that played for Georgia? He's on your team now?
Mm-hmm.
Two-time national champion, by the way. Back-to-back seasons, 2021, 2022.
Yeah, it must be nice backing up Stetson Bennett.
It was, but he was a champion. Kind of like Kenny Pickett. Champion last year at the
Eagles.
There
you go. You're mentioning Carson Beck in the same sense as Kenny Pickett, and then you wonder why I feel down on Miami this
championship
year.
Championship pedigree. It's the heart of a champion right there, Carter.
Got a little news. The Ravens have signed Kyle Hamilton for 4 years, $104 million. The reason it's news is because he's now the new highest paid safety in NFL history.
Oh, wow. See, again, there's a lot of things percolating. See that from Schultz, see that from Shefty. $100.4 million extension, $82 million guaranteed. God, that must be nice. Double lifestyle is in the Delta. Double lifestyle. Oof.
Love double it lifestyle. Out in the Delta.
Good morning. You're on the morning roast. Dare I ask what the double lifestyle pertains to?
Well, it's nothing insidious or creepy. It's just fun, man. Have you ever been out to the Delta on a hot summer evening?
Mm-hmm. Where in the Delta are you?
Discovery Bay.
Oh, that's a nice area out there. I've been out around Isleton before, out that part of the Delta, so that's
the
my Delta
The only Delta
life.
I acknowledge is Delta okay, Airlines. Yeah. There you go. Continue.
Yeah, well, the seating's a little better on the boat than on
that's
Delta
pretty good.
Airlines.
That's a good retort sure. there. That's a good a retort. What do you got on Jake Moody?
Well, you know, probably nothing that you guys haven't covered, and you've covered it well, but, you know, I think we need to take Shanahan to the couch and think like a therapist. Now, why would he hold on to a guy like this? I mean, the reality is, I think there's part of him that's so stubborn, he's not wanting to kick field goals. He wants to move his guys around and get a touchdown. And so there might be that going on there. Plus, there are so many holes in the leaky boat right now. I think he's hoping it works out. But I really agree with your, I think it was Brian. I think week one, he's gone.
Damn, double lifestyle on the Delta, chilling, saying Jake Moody, gone week one.
Don't want those leaky boats out there, though.
No, you're going to need a bigger boat. Shout out Jaws and Shark Week, right? 50 years this year, by the way, that Jaws has been around. Still, I can
time. All time.
Maybe the greatest movie of all time. I think it is the greatest movie of all time. You can get that, Saving Private Ryan, The Godfather. That's fine. There's a lot, but just incredible cast. Week one, and he's gone. Talking about all the drama. No drama this offseason. Then week one, you don't have a kicker. After week one, you just say, see you later. Like, what kind of tone is that setting? Has there ever been a Super Bowl winning team that has gotten rid of their kicker during the season? Has that ever happened? Get on that, crack staff from the back. Look up that.
That's a deep cut right there.
Has that ever happened in the history of Super Bowl champions? You moved on.
Do you think there was ever a team that looked like they were on en route to a Super Bowl, then they cut the kicker and everyone's just like, oh, well, now we have no hope?
Well, it's just like I feel like when you cut the kicker, it's not like the same like when you have like, I'm trying to find like a cross-sport analogy. When you move off a closer and like you put in a new closer and like they get hot and you ride that, or a hot goalie, right, in hockey where you move the current goalie. You go, it's not like for like the same thing. I'm just trying to find some examples and comps elsewhere. It just doesn't really happen in football where you move on from a kicker mid-season and then, or early in the season, and then this guy just comes in, takes over, and they ride the wave. If there's some examples, please let me know. 888-957-9570.
I mean, if the Eagles can ride a backup quarterback to a Super Bowl, obviously I'm talking about the Nick Foles Super Bowl title. I mean, if you could do that in the middle of the season and still win a Super Bowl, I feel like being able to switch kickers in the middle of a season should still not throw a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, you know, off track that much.
Matty Barrows of The Athletic, another
love
person
that
covers the Niners and does it at a high level, has been doing it for a very long time. He actually touched on this last week as well, on with Willard and Dibbs, talking about the 49ers opening up the season with Jake Moody as their kicker, but this is the one I wanted to get to. He also talked about what it would take for the 49ers to move off of Jake Moody.
I mean, does it cost them games? You know, if he goes 3 for 5 in Seattle and the 49ers win by 10 points, I don't think it's gonna matter. If it comes down to a 35-yard kick at the end and the 49ers are trailing by 2 and he's wide left, yeah, I think that'll be very problematic for this team. I don't know if it's one game, I don't know if it's two games, but I don't think the leash is as long as the 49ers are saying it publicly.
Jake Moody pissed me off.
888-957-957.
I just realized I had that drop in front of me. Oh, there it is. I've been looking for it.
The amount of Jake Moody question marks are just... The whole thing has not jumped the shark, but the number one question mark is the kicker heading into the season. It might be the most ridiculous thing ever. It's not going anywhere. Like, the Jake Moody conversation, it's not going anywhere. He can make all the kicks he wants. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter at this point, which sucks for the guy, man. Like, that's another part of this. He can't do anything right this year. It doesn't matter what Jake Moody does. He can have a game-winning kick in Seattle. Are we going to wrap our arms around him for what, a day, two? And then
he could make every single kick all year, like, for the first 8 weeks. The minute he starts missing, it's done. Like, he literally has, like, you played video games. You know when you only have one life left and then it's game over? That's basically Jake Moody. He wasted all of his past lives. He is going into this year with one solo life. You played, like, when you play, like, the Super Mario and you only got one life left and you fall off the cliff and then Bowser laughs at you. And you gotta go start over back at Peach's Castle.
Yahoo!
That's basically where Jake Moody is at. He is basically playing Mario with no extra lives left.
I found the example. 2017, Philadelphia Eagles.
Of course. It's always the Eagles.
They signed Jake Elliott, who's their current kicker still, off the Bengals practice squad after the Eagles starting kicker, Caleb Sturgis, was placed on injured reserve. And Elliott made his first NFL appearance in week 2 of the 2017 season against the Chiefs. And they end up going on the whole way. Not only did they have a new kicker in week 2, they had a new quarterback with Nick Foles.
New quarterback
takeover.
And new kicker.
That's
so,
pretty, you know, pretty
and that
incredible.
Eagles team plus 4,000 to win the Super Bowl. Niners plus 2,000 to win the Super Bowl this year. So there's a lot of precedent here. All the Niners have to do is replace their kicker and their quarterback, and they are going to win the Super Bowl this year based off that one model.
You want to talk some basketball, Sammy?
Oh, yeah. There's definitely some basketball stuff said, and I loved it. I loved it.
Oh, my God.
We can't quit Kevin Durant. The people can't quit Kevin Durant. Isaiah Thomas can't quit Kevin Durant. It'll never go away.
I will never quit Kevin Durant. One of my all-time favorite Warrior legends.
We are going to dive into...
Future statue guy.
We are going to dive into the legacy of one Kevin Durant and whether or not he saved the legacy of not only Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, but of Stephen Curry. Yeah, you heard that correctly. Wait till you hear what Isaiah Thomas had to say on the Draymond Green Show, Sammy.
Dare I say it, Spadoni? Is this a legacy segment that we're about to get into?
It just might be. That's Sam Lubman. He's filling in for Joe Shasky this week, doing a hell of a job. I'm Joe Spadoni. That's what's coming up in the game. It's going to be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change this Labor Day weekend. Be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids. Before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. And Carter, Isaiah Thomas and what he had to say about Kevin Durant saving the Warriors' legacy? What? It's up next on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.